Hey, it's Daniel Tardy. Thanks for listening to the Entree Leadership Podcast. Did you know that the lessons taught by Dave in this podcast are a part of our Entree Leadership Master Series event? Join us at our next event to hear the entire Entree Leadership curriculum in person. This is a special edition at our office in Nashville, Tennessee, May 5th through the 11th. To get more details or to register, give us a call at 888-22-PEACE. That's 888-227-3223. Or check out the Master Series event at entreeleadership.com.
Welcome to Dave Ramsey's Entree Leadership Podcast. This is a place to learn what Dave Ramsey and his team teach about leadership and business. On today's show, we have a lesson from Dave on marketing. We also have a great interview coming up with Robin Robbins, an independent marketing consultant, sales trainer, and author who has helped thousands of business owners from 43 different countries with her technology marketing toolkit strategy. Now, who am I? My name is Chris Licurdo. You might be going, well, we didn't even recognize you. Yes, that's because I am sick, but I'm here for you. I'm in the studio to cut this out, so yes, I know I sound considerably different, but we're pushing on. Last episode, we answered questions from you, the listener, and we had some incredible questions. Loved doing that. That has been one of our biggest podcast downloads, the question and answer episode, so we love doing that for you guys. Let us know what you think about that. Today, we have a lesson from Dave about marketing. It's about selling, it's about advertising, but it's also about strategy. So here is Dave Ramsey on our lesson about marketing.
Well, I'm an old sales guy, and so one-on-one selling like we did yesterday, that's the household I grew up in. Mom and Dad, as I told you 16 times, are in the real estate business, so I learned that stuff yesterday. It is innate to me. It is the thing. Then, of course, getting a degree in finance, I took a lot of marketing classes and read 1,000 books since then on the subject. I exaggerated a little bit then, but the idea being that I started really understanding, you know, that a marketing representative, that's not really true. They're not really a marketing representative. They're just a salesman, which is awesome. So you should never say just a salesman, should you? But a marketing representative really doesn't do marketing. They're doing one-on-one sales. That's what they're doing. We call them reps. We call them account executives. You can call them a lot of different things. That's one-on-one sales. For a company to succeed, whether it's one person or whether it's 100 people, you have to learn to get above the problem. You can't just do trench warfare. You can't just be down in their hand-to-hand combat. You've got to get above the problem and be the general and look at the battle plan and decide which sections of the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, and how you're going to work them to get over the to get the battle won. The only way to do that is to get up over the problem. And so in a very real sense, sales is tactical, marketing is strategic. Strategic is always you're getting the 30,000-foot view. And small business people, we are the worst at strategic thought. And sometimes corporate America, it's all they do is strategic thought. So we need to teach them how to work. As people come out of corporate America, they're real good at flying over everything. We have to get them down here on the ground, get them some work done, right? And yet they can teach us, or these MBAs that are on my team, for instance, they always teach me strategic thought. If you have an MBA, how many of you have an MBA, just for curiosity? Okay, just a handful of you. If you've got an MBA or you've got an MBA or two on your team, I've got maybe 10, 15 on my team. 100% of the time where we're dealing with a marketing situation, I make sure one of those guys or gals is in the room, because one nuance that I found every single MBA program drills into people is they all become strategic thinkers for the rest of their life. They immediately get in the plane and get above the problem and start looking down. And I'm down there just fighting like crud trying to get my way through something. They'll say, wait a minute, if you'll stop, take two steps back, three steps over, you can walk around the problem because I'm up here above it looking at it. That's strategic thought. And so that is one of the greatest values of having MBAs on my team, is they always cause those of us that are very tactical, very in the trenches, to get up above the problem. And that's what we're doing with marketing. Marketing versus sales is getting up above the problem, looking at all the elements of moving the product along. The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who's hasty surely to poverty. So you're not getting in a hurry when you're doing strategic thought. You're not being hasty. We're being diligent. We're developing a plan, a strategic battle plan for getting our goods and services to the marketplace. Marketing is more than just selling and advertising. That's what we're saying. Selling and advertising are micro-marketing, one-on-one. Macro-marketing is the process of delivering goods and services from a producer to the consumer. There's your textbook definition. That's what we're looking at. It's the macro, the big picture, not the one-on-one interaction. It creates the one-on-one interaction, obviously. The entree leader's first step to marketing is to establish or perceive there's a need for his product in the market. Duh. You immediately do that. You wouldn't have been here. You've done that. But I'm amazed at the ideas that come in my office, and people really hadn't even thought about that part. It just sounded good because it was cool, it was electronic, and it was on the iPod or whatever. But they really never thought about what number of human beings are actually going to use this? And I start just pushing back on that, and the whole idea starts falling apart. So you really do have to keep this central, even as basic as it sounds and feels.
As an entrepreneur, as a leader, you have got to come to this understanding that there is a need for your product. It is so difficult when we get a great idea, or at least we think it's a great idea, and we want to push that out to market. If you do not have a need in the marketplace, you do not have a product. You will spend your time pushing so hard to sell something. So instead, find the need. Find the people who have the need for your product, or find something that they need and create the product for them. But either way, you've got to come up and understand that there must be a need for your product in the marketplace. Moving on. Today's interview is with Robin Robbins. Robin is an independent marketing consultant, sales trainer, and author. She has developed and authored the Technology Marketing Toolkit System, which is considered to be the definitive guide to marketing technology products and services. To date, over 2,800 IT business owners from 43 countries have purchased and implemented this marketing system in their business. In addition to her extensive experience with IT service firms, Robin has also developed marketing strategies for over 4,500 businesses in 14 industries across North America, Australia, and Europe. Her vast experience has given Robin a broad knowledge of hundreds of marketing and sales tactics used by some of the most successful and sales-driven organizations in the world. So please do me a huge favor and welcome to the show, Robin Robbins. Robin, it's so great to have you on.
Thank you. Good to be here.
It is good to have you on the show. We run into each other pretty much everywhere.
Right, I know. I think you're following me around.
I'm stalking you in every airport that I can. Well, I'm so glad to have you on this because I know the marketing genius that you are and the team and everything that you do. But how did you become such a great marketer? I mean, you do a phenomenal job with these teams. I've been able to see you in action. I've been able to see you work with these guys. How did you become that great marketing person?
Well, appreciate that. And, the reality is I mean, I heard someone say once, it's not bragging if it's true. And so I'm humble about a lot of things. There's a lot of things I don't know in life and I'm not great at, but marketing is one thing I know, and I know this cold. And mainly, I got started, mine's sort of a hard luck story, and so I'll give you the quick version. It's better told over a couple of beers, that kind of thing, you know. But when I was young, my parents got divorced when I was very young, when I was 12. My mother kind of fell apart, and she wouldn't work. And so from a very early age, I didn't finish school. I went to work. And I've been working since I was about 14. Two jobs, three jobs, cleaning houses, doing anything I could to make a buck. I'd work weekends because I had to kind of support the family. So very early on, I kind of like dropped out of school. So I have a GED. And the only place that really hires you is either a manual labor job or you can get a really crappy sales job, which is what I did, right? So I ended up working for this company they did telemarketing and they set appointments and they sold people frozen meat. I mean, of all things, it's the craziest thing. So
hey, somebody's got to do it, right?
Yeah, I'm not kidding. This is the craziest thing. This is my first experience with selling, so it kind of, I guess, tells you why I'm warped a little bit. But, I started out as a secretary there, and they would have this huge telemarketing department, and they'd call nice folks on their phone like you at night and convince you to have an appointment with a sales guy, come out and beat your brains in for a couple hours to sell you 6 months of frozen meat, and then, oh, by the way, you need a freezer after you realize you bought 6 months of
proceeds. Yeah, absolutely. Where am I going to put this?
So my big break in selling came when I walk in one day and the manager's there and the owner's there and all these people and they're very concerned. Apparently, the telemarketing manager who ran this really intense marketing operation was in jail for tax evasion. And so they were freaking out. They're going, what are we going to do? And they look at me and they go, Robin, sit in there and just manage people, just make sure they come back from breaks on time, they don't dial 900 numbers till we can figure this out. And so I sat in there and I was listening to these salespeople make these phone calls, and I thought, you know, this doesn't seem that hard. And I thought, well, they pay $5 a lead. So I'm like, well, let me pick up the phone and see what I can do. And it turns out I was pretty good. And I would, there was two shifts, and in between the shifts, I'd watch Zig Ziglar tapes. One of the sales guys had those, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'd get all motivated, pumped up, you know, and then you get on the phone, you get told no a million times. But I was so hungry and desperate, I figured it out. And it turned out I was really good at it. And so from there, to give you a short story, you know, I went on to work for a technology company in sales, and then from there I got recruited by a marketing agency, and I've worked in a couple different marketing agencies. So very early on, I learned to sell because I was hungry, and I wasn't afraid of the no's, I guess. I don't know. I just never knew I couldn't do it, so I learned to sell. And in one of the jobs, when I was very young, I was like in my early 20s, I was selling about $250,000 a month in sales of what I was doing, which the average person was only selling about $60,000 to $70,000 a month, to give you an idea. And it was like a light bulb went on in my head that all of a sudden I thought, you know, it doesn't matter about my background, which I was embarrassed about. I was embarrassed about my education. I didn't really think I had any particular skills. I never went to college. But I figured out that, you know what, if I can sell, if I can learn how to sell products, I'll never be hungry and I'll never be without a job. And it was like from there the light bulb went on and I started really getting serious about this concept of selling. And I mastered it, and I became very, very good at it. And from there, I learned the marketing, you know, because I got recruited by a marketing firm. So this story is important because you got to understand something. If you're going to be great at marketing, I think you have to know selling. In order for you to be a successful entrepreneur, small, big, whatever, you got to know what it feels like to stand toe-to-toe, belly-to-belly with that customer and convince them that what you can, or, you know, convince, when I say convince, I don't mean in a bad way, that you can articulate what you can do for them, what value you can bring, what problem you can solve. You got to understand what they think. You got to understand what the objections are going to be. So that's the standpoint of my marketing, and I've really made a study of it. If you could see my office right now, I'm sitting in my home office where I work from, and every wall is lined up with books and audio programs, and I've easily invested over $1 million in every book, tape, seminar, program you can think of on the topic of marketing, which is kind of where I got, you know, where I got to be where I am today. I'm 100% self-taught.
That is phenomenal. I know you've poured so much of yourself into this. Now, when we're talking about marketing, there are so many different concepts of what marketing is. There's, mm-hmm. you know, there's selling, there's branding, there's billboards, there's advertising. There's so many different things that people, when you say marketing, they clump everything under it. What to you is marketing?
Well, it's a good question, and I think this is important for all entrepreneurs, small entrepreneurs. I know most of the people listening are small business owners, and I'm going to tell you this one thing is that's the majority of my clients. Just so you understand, the majority, not all of them, but the majority of my clients are small mom-and-pop entrepreneurs, which means they have no experience with marketing. They often hate selling. You know, they just wish somebody would bring customers to them so they could do the work, right? No background or education in selling and marketing. And so, therefore, they get confused. And they start looking at big companies like IBM, or they look at Starbucks, or they look at some of these other large companies, and they go, man, we got to advertise like them. And that's the first mistake they make. There's only one type of marketing that all the small business owners out there listening need to think about, and that is called direct response marketing. More specifically, I like to say educational direct response marketing, because like Dave, I believe that the best salespeople are really mentors, they're coaches, they add value in advance, and we do that through marketing. Now, direct response marketing is just like the name sounds. It's about directly marketing and sending your message to a very specific audience, you know, most like the people who are most likely to write you a check and benefit from what you do, and then creating the marketing so it elicits a direct response in the sense that it should be an appointment, an inquiry, or maybe even a sale. And the difference between direct response and most advertising, branding, that sort of thing, is that direct response is 100% measurable. So in my world with my clients, if they spend $100 on a marketing campaign, they better get $200 back and it better be tomorrow. Mm-hmm. They can't afford to do quote-unquote branding. Now here's the good part. If you do direct response right...
And most small businesses can't.
Yeah, well, if you do direct response right, you get automatic branding, right? I mean, that's like a nice byproduct. But mm-hmm. if you run what are called image ads that are just cute, clever ads that don't sell something, that don't tell people, go to my website, fill in this form, request this report, request an assessment or an appointment or whatever, then I think you're doing yourself a disservice because it's not measurable. And as a small business owner, you need to get the maximum return for every dollar spent, and that is through direct response marketing.
So for you, marketing, especially to the small business, a must is the call to action.
Yeah, it's about sending a very specific message to a high probability buying audience and in the most efficient, effective way to elicit a response. And that response in some cases, so some of you listening might be consultants. Now, you might not sell a CPA consulting package in a box. Some of you might, but for most of you, you got to get like an appointment, right? Like with my guys, the niche that I work with, mostly IT consultants, you want to have an appointment with them. They got to assess your situation. They write a proposal. So all the marketing we write is about getting the appointment with the right decision maker and pre-selling them and pre-qualifying in advance. Some of you listening might be selling a product direct like I do. I sell both. I sell products direct on my website and I also sell consulting. Consulting, you're going to go for an appointment. The product sale obviously is the product sale.
Now, with so many businesses struggling with marketing, I mean, it is a difficult thing. You've seen this because you work with the IT industry. Mm-hmm. A lot of these guys start out, they don't have a clue. They don't know. They don't know what they know how to do IT. They're mm-hmm. fantastic at doing IT. Mm-hmm. So many small businesses, so many small business entrepreneurs, they start out, they learn how to build a widget, they learn how to sell a widget, and that's about all they know. And when it comes to this marketing thing, they struggle with that. What do you think some of these companies are doing wrong?
Well, I think first off, the most important thing they're doing wrong is they're thinking marketing is like a check in the box of things they do
right.
as a business owner. Okay? Marketing is the thing. When you decided to become an entrepreneur, whether you like it or not, your number one job and responsibility in getting that business off the ground is acquiring customers at a profit. That's it. That's marketing, right? But most people get really good at fixing cars or cleaning houses or doing tax returns or fixing computers or whatever it is. And they go, oh, you know, I had to go in business. And that way I could keep all the money myself. That's kind of like the idea, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then they realize it's not, and by the way, it's not just marketing. When you decide to become an entrepreneur, I mean, your first and foremost is you got to be able to bring in a customer. Because if you can't do that, you do not have a business, right? I mean, it doesn't matter if you have the best food or the best services or the best whatever. You're going to be the best kept secret if you don't know how to monetize that, which is the process of marketing. So I think the biggest mistake is they go into opening their business and they go to classes to learn how to be a better technician or to do better tax returns or, you know, whatever it is, and they get better at doing the thing and they spend no time, money or effort in learning how to be a better marketer, you know? And so I think that's, if I had to give you the one fundamental mistake, that's it.
Mm. Now, if they're going to change that being the biggest mistake, so they've got to understand that. What do they change to start getting more clients?
Okay, so if I were a small business owner getting started, the first thing you want to do is figure out who your ideal customer is. So if you look at some of the customers you have, even if you're a startup, okay, and you have three customers, I bet you in those three customers, there's one that you really like, that you really resonate with, that pays you the money, that appreciates what you do, and that you can get the best result for. I would say number one thing is get really clear on who that person is, because another mistake a lot of business owners make is they try to be all things to all people. And in doing so, they water down their message. So again, small business owners, let's give you the analogy of like we were planting a field. Let's say you got 10 acres. Well, you know, that's great. But let's suppose you only have enough seed and water and fertilizer, which is like resources, to actually do anything with 1 acre. Now, what the mistake a lot of small business owners do is they say, oh, I got big 10 acres. There's all these people could be prospects. So they spread out the seed really thin, and they spread out the fertilizer really thin, and they just have enough to water each plant one time. Well, everything's going to die because their efforts aren't concentrated. So the first thing you got to do is figure out, who do you want to become a hero to? Who do you want to become famous, you know, to? Who's that ideal prospect? Mm-hmm. Then what I would do is you got to find out everything you can about them. You got to find out, what are they using or buying right now? What do they like about it? What do they not like about it? And then you got to figure out what's your angle, also called like your niche or your USP, which is unique selling proposition. So, you know, you've got to know, number one, you really got to know who your customer is so you can target your messages and your marketing and your media to those people. So, like, I saw some of the questions that were up when people were saying, well, what about direct mail, or what's the most effective way to use Facebook, or what's, you know. See, the problem with that is, if you knew your customer, you wouldn't ask me that question.
That's true.
Right? Because if you knew your customer, you'd know where they hang out, you'd know what publications they read, you'd know what they're doing right now. You know, but to me, that instantly says you've got to go study your customers, and not all of them. It's the 80-20 rule. I promise you, if you look in your customer base, there's 20% that you love working with. And so an exercise I would recommend you sit down is get a piece of paper out, real simple. Write the name of a client you love at the top of the paper, and then list every reason why they're great clients. They pay on time. They appreciate it. You know, what makes them a good client that not only you enjoy working with, it, but also that you can get the best result with. Then you write down who is not such a good client and why. And by doing this, and you write your avatar, meaning the name of a client, because it'll help you think this through, and then you start getting focused on that 20% of customers. Where do they hang out? What do they like? What do they dislike? When they talk to you, what do they say? And I'll give you, here's, when somebody hires me for marketing consulting, here's one of the first things I do. And by the way, if you ever hire a marketing consultant, they should do this too, and if they don't hire them. The number one first thing they should do is say, give me a list of your best customers. I want to call and talk to them. And so I call those customers. I get them on the phone. I record the call. And I'll ask them questions like, well, how did you hear about so-and-so? And what do you like about them? And I get them to be specific. And what do you not like about them? And when you were looking to buy them roofing surfaces or roofing services, or you were looking to buy carpet cleaner, whatever it is, you know, what did you look for? What was most important to you? What else was important to you? What were you afraid of? What questions did you have? And I do these interviews. I record them, and I have them transcribed. And then I'll take all the interviews of that client's customers, which are, like, usually between 5 and 6. You don't need a whole lot. And I just do this with their best customers. I get a highlighter, and with the transcriptions, I start highlighting commonalities of words they say, of what they like, of things that they, you know, how did they find you, and so forth. And then we build on that. Mm. So that's, you know, I'm kind of giving you a fast process here, but I'm telling you, if you focus on your best customers, that's who you want more of anyway. So the marketing and the messages have to be written to appeal to that those people. And the only way you're going to know is you got to sit down and you got to study them just like you were hunting. I'll give you another analogy real quick. So years ago, I had a boyfriend who was an avid hunter, and he hunted, I mean, he fished, he hunt deer, moose, you know, he even had like a hawk, he would hunt small game. I mean, this guy was like a hunting nut, right? Well, one thing I can tell you, I never went with him because I prefer my meat shrink-wrapped in the supermarket nice and, you know what I mean? I don't, like, that's not my thing.
You don't want to field dress your meat before you eat it.
Exactly, yeah. Right. I want it, yeah. So I'm definitely, I guess, more of a city girl. I don't know. Anyway, but I would watch him get ready for these hunts. And so if he was hunting deer, he dressed a certain way. He would go to certain places in the woods. Like, he wouldn't go down by the lake. He would put deer urine on him, which is disgusting.
Yeah, disgusting.
You know, here's another point. If you know what animal you want to hunt, you don't base it on what appeals to you. Because if it was me, I would sit out there with a TV set to entertain myself and some chocolate because that's what I like to eat. And so, and that's not going to bring the deer in, right? So you've got to study your customers just like you if you were going hunting. So if you were hunting deer, you wouldn't put out, let's say, like I said, like a block of chocolate because that's what you like. You know, you would put out deer food, whatever they eat, and it would attract them into you. So the most important thing, all of the people and the questions I see is, a lot of them, what it says to me is you're not studying your customers, because if you want to attract them, you got to go to the right places where they hang out. Like if I was going to hunt deer, I wouldn't go downtown Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see what I mean? I mean, there's no point.
Absolutely.
So, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I used to talk with the live events team. Every time I would bring on somebody young, whenever I'd bring on a young team member, what would happen is they would come and say, oh my gosh, we've got to go after the college students. We've got to go after
right.
you know, this age. And they kept pushing and pushing and pushing. I'd say, listen, let's sit down and let me show you something. College students aren't interested in a five-hour event on finances.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't have a party attached to it, if it doesn't have something, you know, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
They're right now thinking they're bulletproof. They're not concerned about their finances in that way. You get a young married couple, oh my gosh, that's exactly what they're looking for. So I totally agree. You have to be focused on that.
And you know, you make a good point. Don't sell people what they need.
Right.
Sell them what they want to buy.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Let me repeat that. Sell them what they want to buy. Now, that means you got to know what they want to buy.
What it is that they want to buy. Absolutely.
Right.
And I don't know if deers don't like chocolate. I think that might work.
I don't know. I like it. It would keep me happy if I had to sit in a deer stand like they do.
It's, absolutely.
You know, very boring. But
now, that's a great way to get new clients.
Mm-hmm.
A great focus on that. I've got a ton of people that come up to me all the time and saying, how do I get more sales?
Mm-hmm.
How do I focus? Because again, they learned how to build their widget and sell it, but they're limited with their wisdom and their knowledge. What are some simple things that some people could do right now to get more sales?
Well, I think selling and marketing are two sides of the same coin. And so first off, look at it as though the marketing is essentially an extension of the sales process. Let me give you an example. Like I mentioned, I was in sales for years. So I'd do the old smile and dial, calling people up, hey, this is Robin from, you know, whatever company I was working for, and we do this, and I want to set an appointment with you to talk about your needs. That, groaner, right? Well, the problem with that is instantly I'm perceived and positioned as a salesperson.
Oh, yeah.
So what do we do with salespeople?
We hang up.
Right. We block them. We sift and sort. I mean, every business has the human spam filter that sits at the front desk that blocks the calls coming in. If you walk in, they're the same thing. That's the human spam filter. If you send direct mail, they filter their mail before it gets to the person you got to decide. So the best thing you can do to generate more sales is change the way you're positioning yourself. So when I started positioning myself as a marketing expert, how did I do that? I started doing seminars and I started writing articles that would provide value in advance to help business owners understand what great marketing is and how it should work, and giving them real valuable content so they're going, wow, you know, if you're giving this away to me for free, I want to hire you. And so you got to do things that educate the marketplace so that you position yourself as not a salesperson but as a celebrity expert, as somebody who is knowledgeable and the go-to guy on whatever it is, you know? And so to get more sales, my whole premise, we could go into selling techniques and we could say believe me, there's a million things we could go into in the actual sales process, but the problem is we're only tinkering with it to make it marginally better. I'm talking about changing the game. I'm talking about changing it, your position to your customers, so that they seek you out and they're attracted to you and they have to almost qualify to get into you rather than you knocking on doors and telemarketing and so forth. And it's not that I'm against telemarketing. I mean, we use that, but we use it in a very strategic way. But if you're in sales, the question is, what can you do to position yourself as the go-to expert on whatever the topic is?
I love that. Now, we've got some questions that have come in from chrislocurto.com readers that they wanted to ask of you, and then we'll do, if you're cool with hanging around and doing the extended interview, we'll do that as well.
Sure.
But let me get a couple of them in here. This is from Alexandria. Alexandria says, what trends besides mobile and integrated niche marketing do you foresee in advertising PR marketing?
Obviously we're moving towards, I think one of the trends in marketing, which is not what she's probably trying to say, is it Twitter, is it Facebook? That's not what I would say. The trend we're seeing is it's getting harder and harder to get people's attention. One of my good friends, Dr. Ned Hallowell, who is the country's leading expert on ADD, and you got to get his book. It's called Crazy Busy. It's awesome. But he's saying that we are living in a socially environment where ADD is socially induced. Mm-hmm. There, and so as a marketer, as an entrepreneur, one thing that we have to be prepared for is that it is getting more and more difficult to get and keep people's attention. So our marketing has to be that much more precise. It's got to be that much more interesting. So I'll give you an example. 10 years ago, I was able to do a teleseminar, you know, where everyone dialed into a conference line, and that was a new exciting thing because we used to just do direct mail, email, whatever. And so people could hear me live on a call, and they would be like, ooh, you know, it was like real big and fancy. Today, because it's getting harder and harder to get people's attention, we've had to move to online videos. So, like, if you go to my website, and this is not a plug for my website because I know most of you won't buy, and that's fine. I'm not expecting you to. But if you go to my website, like technologymarketingtoolkit.com, I've had to go to a much greater extent where we film very professional videos, and these are like 3-4 hours of content. We give them in advance with a lot of different moving parts. So one of the things, a trend that I'm seeing more and more is the attention span. The second thing is that we are becoming more and more a society of niches and subcultures because we can now. So like on Facebook, if you do advertising on Facebook, you can specifically say, I want to only target people with this demographics and so forth, but also who have these interests and like these people. So, you know, more and more people, if you go to Starbucks, they're the best example. When you go in, you want a tall, extra hot, skinny, no foam, blah, blah, latte, you know, with an extra shot of whatever. And what that is, our society is becoming where we want more and more customized solutions. You know, Henry Ford was on to something when he was selling cars, and he said, you can have any color you want as long as it's black, right? Yeah. Now we want, like, people are moving towards wanting more and more custom solutions, which means that in your marketing, you're going to have to be that much more focused on who your product is for. And fortunately, with the media the way it is, privacy in America is dead, so you can pretty much get a list or find people. It's just become a lot more of a small numbers game, if that makes sense. Those are the two big trends.
I think it's become, in the olden days, 20 right. years ago, way
yeah,
back
like when
horse
and buggy was around.
Yeah,
right.
we would try and capture the large group. We would try and capture, you know, if we could get a product that would spread, or you know, try and do it to the masses. And that, because that was the way to do it. Mm-hmm. You'd get one product to the masses. And nowadays, what I think we've found is, just like you're saying, if you focus on a small group and you take care of that small area, that small, because they're so impacted by all of the things that are happening. There's so much social media. There's so much marketing all around. There's so many things. Like you say, we're inducing this ADD type of culture. Mm-hmm. That if you grab a hold of that small culture, then what tends to happen is they blow it up to bigger cultures.
Right. It's almost like if we, like in my business, I, you know, there would have been a time where I could say I'm the expert in IT marketing, and that would have been enough. Now, when prospects come to my site, even if they're an IT company, the question they have is, they'll say, well, but I'm a small startup, so is
right.
this for me?
Yeah.
Or I'm a $20 million company, is this for me?
So
or,
you narrowed it, you got a niche, and there's niches inside the niche going, well
exactly.
You're too big.
exactly, and that happens all the time. And as a marketer, you've got to say, again, who is your target market specifically for? And the tighter you can get that, so when somebody comes to my site, And this is how specific people can be. So in my niche, even in the niche that I play in, the IT consultants, Some of them call themselves VARs. Some of them call themselves MSPs. Some of them call themselves cloud integrators. And you don't dare call an MSP a VAR. You know, like, I mean, I...
Oh, everybody knows that.
Well, right. I mean, that, but that's what... And people are like, everyone right now is crossing their eyes going, what the heck is she saying? But the thing is, I need to know that. If I'm going to market to this group of people, that's how intimate... You got to know their language.
Absolutely.
You got to understand who they are. So that way, when I write my marketing, I can say... This is going to work specifically the best for a managed service provider who is also possibly selling cloud solutions, spam filtering, antivirus, or other outsourced IT projects, and is in the U.S. that is typically doing under $5 million a year. Now, when they read that, if that's that person, it's magnetic for that customer. They go, that's me. I want this, right? But the danger, I say danger. A lot of people get really scared because they go, oh, I don't want to niche that much because I'm gonna eliminate a lot of other people. And you're right, you will. Because if a $20 million a year MSP comes to my site, they're going to say, well, I'm doing more than $5 million. This isn't for me. But in marketing, I can tell you, if you water down your message, you're going to get fewer and fewer. So for me, I've got like 25, 30 websites, and each one is to a specific sub-niche within my niche.
Mm. That's genius. That's genius.
Yeah.
Last question here comes from John Henry. He says, how do you balance the getting new customers side of marketing with the keeping the customers you have side?
Well, I would always skew it. If I had to make a choice, I would always skew it towards keeping the customers you have and selling them more, going deeper into that relationship, selling them more, getting more referrals, and turning them into what I call raving fans. I don't want customers. I want raving fans. We've got a wall in our office that is nothing but handwritten notes from people who are raving fans. They write us stories about their experience. They send us pictures of their kids. They tell us how we've saved their marriage. There's like, it's unbelievable. And that's when you know you're getting it right. When you start getting fan mail, for whatever it is, even if you're a restaurant, it doesn't matter. When you start getting fan mail, you know you're doing it right. If you're not getting notes from your customers, then you need to work harder to get those people to be blown away, raving fans. Mm. Okay, that's like I'll tell you right now, that's the biggest secret, quote unquote, to marketing, because I think most businesses out there have an okay product or service, meaning they deliver exactly kind of what the customer would expect, so the customer is satisfied. And I'm telling you, if that's the game you're going to play, you're not going to grow exponentially. You've got to have raving fans. You've got to have people who, if they say, if it's not a Starbucks coffee, I don't want it.
Right.
You know, you've got to have that loyalty. So the balance, I'd say, is definitely towards working with existing customers to sell them more, make them happier, have them go out, because when they will attract more customers to you. Then I would focus on getting new customers, because a mistake I see a lot of businesses make is they're doing a poor to mediocre job at selling and communicating and building a relationship with existing customers, and because they're always focused on what's next. All right, that's like getting married and ignoring your wife because you're kind of looking around to see what else you can get. Mm-hmm. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, you want to stick with the people who are loyal to you, that love you, that have bought from you. And after you've really done an excellent job there, then and only then would I say, let's go out and try and find new ones.
I think the old myth that has been said for years, it's cheaper to keep customers than it is to get new customers.
Right.
The thing that's wrong with that statement is the focus on keeping customers.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only focus there. Well, how do I keep the customer? But like you're saying, people have discovered nowadays, if you build a tribe, you don't try and keep them. You try to benefit them.
Right.
You try to bless them. You try to help them in the process. You're not just keeping them, but you're absolutely building this megaphone that goes out to the public.
Oh, yeah. I think, again, most companies do a really poor job at this. I mean, it's like some clients, or I mean, we spend a lot of money on certain vendors. I mean, I'm talking... Some vendors, we spend $1 million+ in my business. And, you know, some of those vendors, when it comes Christmas time, we don't even get a card. Now, you know, if you do a good job for me, the other stuff. But then, if I went to the owner of that company and I said, you know, what are you doing? We're trying to get more new customers. You know, they're not even nurturing who they have right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That has got to be a focus. Well, Robin, thank you so much for doing this. Can you stick around and do the extended interview for the chrislacurto.com readers?
Absolutely.
And folks, if you want to hear that, make sure that you go on over to the website and click subscribe. You will get that in your inbox. Fantastic. Great job. And Robin, how can people get more of you?
Well, there's two sites, robinrobbins.com for the general audience. And then if you want a good marketing example, go to mytechnologymarketingtoolkit.com and you can see more of a live working model there.
Fantastic. Well, thank you again for doing this. We really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Absolutely. You have a fantastic day.
You too.
Well, lots of great information in that. Becky, what did you think about that?
Yeah, I really liked that farming analogy. And you know, what I took away was that you really need to concentrate your efforts and figure out who you want to become a hero to. Who is that customer that your services, that your product is just going to be a huge win for them?
Absolutely. I love the part where she was talking about, going in and highlighting, finding out the best customers, going after that 20% rule. Because if you go after them and you find out what you've done well, and the thing is, what she's saying, every single one of you guys can do this. Every one of us can do this. You don't have to bring in a marketing firm to do this. You can go in and find out who is the top customers that you have. And if you will work and focus on them and find out what you've done really well with them, that is the thing that you can blow up with everybody else. Well, folks, coming up this Thursday at 9 a.m. Central, we'll be hosting the Entree Leadership Live Chat. Come stop by for an hour to kick off your work day and learn from fellow Entree leaders. Did we mention that this is still absolutely free? It is free. So make sure that you go to DaveRamsey.com/EntreeLeadership this Thursday and join in on the discussion. Reminders, follow us on Twitter at EntreeLeadership or at Chris Licurdo. Also email us at podcast@EntreeLeadership.com. And for daily leadership, make sure that you go to ChrisLicurdo.com and hit subscribe. Don't forget to head on over to DaveRamsey.com and sign up for our monthly newsletter. There is a lot of information that comes with that thing. A lot. And that is free as well. If you want to hear all the Entree Leadership lessons from Dave, attend our next Entree Leadership Master Series event, May 5 through 11, at our headquarters here in Nashville. That is going to be an absolute blast. For more information, go to EntreeLeadership.com or call our team at 888-227-3223. That puts another Entree Leadership podcast in the books. I've got to thank the people who make this happen every single time. Chris Mefford, our executive producer. Colin Fatke, our audio engineer. Becky Powell, our marketing guru, genius queen. I don't know.
I'll take it.
Will you take it? I don't know. Colin, you got a name for it?
Or just producer.
Or just producer.
Yeah.
Just it's simple as that, right? We'll just go with that. Robin Robbins. It's always fun to say that name. And of course, Dave Ramsey. Folks, take this information out there, change your leadership, change your business, and change your life, as well as join us on the next Entree Leadership podcast.